little detail. Yeah, it's really, really lovely to be with you all. And thank you so much for your warm welcome. And we are just really loving seeing different people and just enjoying being here. It just fills our hearts with delight. Thank you. And it's a real privilege for Paul and I to be able to share with you today. And today we continue our series in Luke's Gospel, looking at Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 10. And it's another challenging passage. Thank you so much to the worship team for leading us so beautifully in worship. I was only here for the last two songs, but it was just lovely. And I think just a reminder that this teaching is coming out of a loving relationship with God and a response to his love to us. And so we have that desire to live for him. So I'm going to read the verses and then we'll jump into thinking a bit more about this. Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive them." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you. Suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, 'Come along now and sit down to eat'? Won't he rather say, 'Prepare my supper and get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink? After that, you may eat and drink.' Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you've done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" In these verses, Jesus shares with his disciples four practices for Christian living. And we're going to take time to go through each of those this morning. The first one is look out for each other. Second one, forgiveness. The third one, faith. And then service. While these four practices are distinct from each other, they are connected, a bit like the four varieties of Peruvian corn that are on the slide. All different colours and flavours, yet all are Peruvian corn, and a little bit different from the sweet corn you get in your barbecues here. Or the four different types of camelids. The llama, the alpaca, the vicuña, and the guanaco. The first of these practices is to look out for each other. Jesus said in verse 1, he recognizes that his disciples will stumble or do things that deeply displease God and distance them from him. He then gives a stern warning to those who cause others to stumble. This could include displeasing God or living in a way that provokes others to turn away from him. He goes on to say, "It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble." When Jesus refers to these little ones, it does include children and younger people, but also refers to those who are younger in the faith. I really love the tenderness of Jesus' language in addressing them as these little ones. And in Matthew 18, which is a parallel passage of this in Matthew, Jesus, he gives us a deeper glimpse of his heart for him, for them. And Jesus uses the parable of the 100 sheep to show the heart of the Father, who is the shepherd, who will go out and search for that one sheep that has wandered off. If we are to emulate our Heavenly Father, we will do everything to go back, to bring back those who have wandered off or those who have stumbled. Bringing together Matthew 18 and Luke 17, the picture is of more mature believers doing everything they can to help younger and more vulnerable believers to keep on track, to keep them growing, to help them to grow strong in the faith. We need to remember that others are watching us and that some of the things we do and say can have a big impact on those around us and even cause those who are less mature in their faith to sin or move away from God. In Jesus' day, the Romans executed people by drowning them with a millstone tied around their neck. It was a gruesome death. And a millstone was a really big, heavy stone that was used for grinding grain. And Jesus was saying that the judgment for causing one of these little ones to stumble was a terrible, terrible thing. Jesus finishes this passage, this section, with the exhortation to be watchful, be vigilant. One way in which we can be watchful is to pray that God would show us where we have sinned or where we have drifted from God, and also how we may have caused others to do so, and making this a continual practice. And also, how would it be to share about our weaknesses in our close relationships? I'm not talking about telling everyone our weaknesses and where we've sinned, but in our close relationships and keeping each other accountable. That can be a really, really good way to help each other and to grow together arm in arm. A mentoring relationship or a committed friendship with another Christian can be a great way to help us grow and help each other resist temptation or our tendency to drift away from God. And I've got a really good mentor and some really good Christian friends, and they have just been such a support to me through my life. So we're going to move on to the second practice, and that is of forgiveness. Jesus says, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. So I'm going to ask you a wee question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being easy and 10 being very hard, how hard do you find it to forgive other people? Okay, I'm going to give you a wee pause to think about that. How hard do you find it to forgive other people? Okay, now I'm not going to ask you all to come up and tell everybody. You're safe. But yeah, it's good to just reflect as we enter into thinking about this. I'm from a culture, Northern Ireland, for those who don't know my accent, from rural Northern Ireland. And the culture that I come from, communication style is very indirect. We think that English people are direct. Well, I've sort of grown a lot, but 20, 30 years ago, I thought that English people were very direct. Now I know that Swiss and German people are really direct. So if someone from Northern Ireland, if someone has hurt you or there's an issue between people, the tendency is not to talk about it. So instead, what happens is shoved onto the carpet along with all the other skeletons from past relationship issues where there is still unforgiveness. And it seeps out. It's not, doesn't disappear. It seeps out and it's still there. And Peru is very similar to Northern Ireland in this way. It's also a very indirect culture and communication culture. But I am grateful for my Swiss and German colleagues. I have to say that at the beginning, it was quite a challenge and it took a lot of getting used to. But I am really, really grateful for them for what they've taught me about plucking up the courage to speak to me when I have done something that has offended them or hurt them, of giving me the opportunity to apologize or of offering me forgiveness. I have often been completely unaware of the issue that they have come to talk to me about. And that's just a really, it's a hard conversation, but it's a good conversation because I know that they care about our relationship and they don't want this thing to be between us. And I think this is exactly what Jesus is talking about when he says, if your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. When we can do this with one another in love, and I underline that, it exemplifies authentic community where God's grace is not only mirrored to us, but also the weaknesses in us that we are blind to. And that are obvious to others. We all have weaknesses. Going back to Luke chapter 17, Jesus continues to challenge us in verse 4. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. So he's not saying, okay, count in your fingers, have a little notebook in your pocket and tick them off as they come back each time and forgive them. And then when you get to 7, well, oh, now I can begin to not forgive them. The number 7 in the Bible means indefinitely or very often. And Ashley, who was on the other side, she was taking us over in the car and she said that she's been doing a study in the Lord's Prayer and they were saying that it really means infinity. So it's just forever, on and on and on. And so what Jesus is saying is that forgiveness should be a continual practice every day. It should be part of our DNA as Christians. We are called to keep on forgiving. So if someone keeps asking forgiveness for the same thing and they are repenting, we are called to keep on forgiving them. If we discover after forgiving someone that, and this happens to me, after forgiving them and then you discover that you actually still have something in my heart against them, Jesus is saying, no, I need to go back and forgive them. And not necessarily going to them, but I need to forgive them before God. Paul also teaches on the importance of forgiveness, connecting it with the forgiveness that we have received from God, just as Jesus did in the Lord's Prayer. And Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. If granting forgiveness is not easy for you, you are not alone. Research in 2019 by Barna revealed that 1 in 4 Christians find it hard to forgive. Forgiving each other is a deep and tangible expression of Christ's love. So we really do need to practice it. Lack of forgiveness is toxic, both for ourselves and for relationships. Bitterness and resentment are byproducts which eat at us, distancing us from God and robbing us of the peace that the Holy Spirit brings. Unforgiveness puts distance between ourselves and others. It is also one of the most common reasons that puts some people off coming to church, and even some people walk away from God as a result. And so it's linked to the first of the practices we're looking at. A Peruvian mission worker living in Asia said that if resentment was not worked through or submitted to the Holy Spirit, it could cause havoc in the mission field. It can certainly do the same in our church communities, in our families and friendships. It fills my heart with joy to see how many cultures are represented in Christchurch. It's just a little picture of heaven. In my work with member care in Latin Link and with Peruvian mission workers who go all over the world, I have experienced the richness and beauty there is when people from different cultures come together. There's something really special. But I also know about the challenges, the misunderstandings, and all the other things, and of the need for much grace and for making these words of Jesus part of who we are. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. And the question, is there someone you need to forgive today? I'm just going to hand over to Paul.
Thank you, Ruth. And really challenging, isn't it? That whole area of forgiveness. So we looked at two practices from Luke 17. They are looking out for one another, looking out for each other, forgiveness. And now we're moving on to the third practice, faith. Now, if you're over 40, you might remember it was George Michael who sang, "'Cause I've gotta have faith." I don't think it was the faith the disciples were talking about in verse 5 when they say to Jesus, increase our faith. And the reason they need their faith increased is that they can't conceive on a human level that they would be able to forgive in the way that Jesus has asked them and requires of us as well. It is only in faith, in total dependence on God, that they and us can forgive and forgive and forgive. And Jesus replies to their request for more faith in verse 6, saying that if they only had faith as small as a mustard seed, that they would be able to say to a mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Now, that might remind you of when Jesus in Matthew 17, a man brings his demon-possessed son to the disciples to be healed. And the man says to Jesus, but they could not heal him. And then Jesus, after he's healed the boy, and the disciples come to him in private, asking why they hadn't been able to drive out the demon, Jesus says in Matthew 17, verse 20, because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, before we head out and start telling mulberry trees and mountains to move, I think we all know that Jesus, you know, isn't asking us literally to do that. He is speaking figuratively to make a really important point. He is inviting us to put our faith, our complete trust in him as we face different mountains in our lives, situations that seem humanly impossible to resolve. He's asking us not to face these situations in our own strength, but to allow God to walk with us and be with us in whatever it is that we're facing. And he doesn't ask for great faith from us. He asks for a simple but total surrender and dependence on him. You know, so many times I want to fix things, to do things my way. I think that I know better. And then God reminds me again of just how much I need him and that I just need to put my faith in him. In the lead up to our first Arrow Leaders retreat in December 2022, Peru was in the middle of a national indefinite transport strike. And several of our leaders were due to travel by bus to the south of Peru, the city of Arequipa, and with roads blocked across the country, it looked like some of our leaders just weren't going to be able to arrive. On the Monday before the Thursday, when the retreat was due to start, 15 hours of intense negotiations between the government and the transport unions began. And in the early hours of Tuesday, an agreement was finally reached and the strike ended. What a relief. On the Thursday after our retreat, And you don't have to suspend disbelief. This actually happened, okay? The president, Pedro Castillo, goes on national television to announce that he's closing Congress. He promptly is arrested, and Congress isn't closed. But this actually sparked violent protests across the country from those who actually supported what the president had wanted to do, including the airport in Arequipa being vandalized and closed for several weeks. God knew ahead of time when our retreat needed to take place, and we just needed to trust him. Many of our ARA leaders are living by faith in remarkable ways. Don't have time to tell you about all of them. Trusting for God's provision. One young leader, my namesake, Pablo, works for half the week with the youth of three churches across the south of Lima. They are only able to barely cover his travel costs. So on the side, he has a t-shirt printing business, just living by faith for God's kingdom and his mission. So the final practice we're going to look at together is this one of service. And in the last section, these verses 7 to 10, Jesus tells a parable, a story about a servant who, having worked all day, does not expect his master to prepare him a meal or to thank him, but realizes he is only performing his duty. And Jesus says to his disciples in verse 10, "So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, 'We are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty.'" Wow. Now, Jesus is not saying that this is how we should treat each other, okay? Yeah? The whole biblical narrative is one of loving one another, looking out for each other, being kind, being caring. As Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you are my followers, if you love one another." So what is Jesus saying here? Well, 2 weeks ago, Andrew introduced this relationship of master and servant. And a servant in Jesus' time was someone who had fallen into debt. And in those days, you couldn't file for bankruptcy, so there were two options. Either the person you owed money to threw you in prison, or you could work for your creditor until you'd paid off your debt. So the servant is someone who says to the master, "You owe me nothing." And in the same way, God, our master, owes us nothing, and we owe him everything. But so often we live our lives as if God did owe us something when he doesn't at all. Or perhaps we live as if he wasn't our master at all. Who or what is master of our lives? Is there something that has more importance, perhaps more control of our lives at the moment than it should? Now, the debt we owe God is not one to earn his approval or somehow, you know, earn our way into heaven, because Jesus has already paid our debt on the cross. The debt we have is one of love and gratitude for all that our master has done for us in sending his son to die on our behalf. And you know, the good news, the amazing news, is that we are more than servants. We are children of the King of Kings. Wow. And we serve our master, we serve each other, not out of a sense of duty or obligation, but out of thankfulness for all that we have received in Christ. And I've already mentioned the ARO leadership program I'm involved in, and at the heart of ARO is this: to be led more by Jesus to lead more like Jesus, to lead more to Jesus, and to follow Jesus' example of humble service, who came not to be served, but to serve. And in a world where sadly leaders, even within churches, often crave recognition, adulation, they seek power, their own gain, Jesus' way of leading is in such stark contrast. The Apostle Paul puts it so well in Philippians 2, in these well-known verses. I'll read from verse 5. It says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And Ruth and I, we're just so grateful that your pastors, Andrew and Simon, both model this style of leadership. And we're so grateful for the example of all of you who serve within Christchurch in so many different ways. And it's just been such a joy and encouragement for us to see that evidenced in so many different ways. And for you, perhaps you might want to consider serving on the next church team. That might be to Peru or Ecuador or Uganda or Albania or wherever it might be. God might just be touching your heart. Next time that announcement comes up about a team going, yeah, I'm going to talk to somebody about that. I might even sign up to find out more. And, you know, in the latest issue of Latin Links magazine, it's called The Latin File, comes out twice a year. And if the QR code is on the screen behind me, you have permission to get out your phones and take a picture. There are two articles in it. And it's fantastic because one is by Abby Murphy, our mission partner in Ecuador, all about how she's serving there. And then a few pages later, there's an article about you. Yeah, whoa. Yeah, an article about Christchurch and how, without your partnership with us, we couldn't do what God has called us to do in Peru. And actually, there are print copies of the magazine coming to Harwood Hill tomorrow. And so next week, you'll be able to pick up a print copy from the back if you want to do that. And thanks so much for your prayers with us. At the back today, okay, there's a little bookmark. You can blue tack it to the fridge or wherever you want. Put it in your Bible. And on the back, a couple of prayer requests. Thank you so much for your prayers. You can use that. But just as we close, can we take a moment just to reflect on those four practices again and how God might be challenging us this morning, whether it's just to look out for one another, or is there someone we need to forgive? Or perhaps we just need to ask God, Lord, increase my faith. I need more of your faith. I need to depend more on you. Or perhaps there's an area where God is calling you to serve. So let's just pause and pray that God's Holy Spirit would help us to cultivate all those practices. I'm just going to pray as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you've called us to be a part of your family. And you've called us to look out for one another. And Lord, we don't want to be that stumbling block to our sisters and brothers. We want to build each other up. And Father, is that if there's someone we need to forgive or someone we need to ask forgiveness from, Lord, would you increase our faith so that we may be able to do that? We thank you so much that you paid our debt. Lord, we owe you everything for what you've done in Jesus. And Father, just pray that, yeah, our motivation to serve you, to follow you, would be just out of a thankful heart for everything you have already done in us. Father, walk with us, go with us, this week as we try, with your help and not in our own strength, to live for you. In your name we pray. Amen.